Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Church growth strategies are the death gurgle of a church that has lost its way, according to Stanley Hauerwas. And I think I agree. Welcome in. This is Religionless Christianity. I'm your host, Spencer. This is my beautiful wife, Nikki. And before we get going on this topic, baby, is there anything you want to say?
Yeah, I was just thinking of, since we moved out here, we haven't done any of the outreach like we used to do on Saturdays with our church, and I really miss doing that, and I think we all miss doing that with the church, and just people would be surprised that anybody would even come to their door and even care to even pray for them. And just planting those seeds, and we didn't always get a chance to pray with people right then and there, you know, and for them to, like, be, I can't think of the word, like, grieved over their sin, you know, realizing their sin separates them from God. But it's just a simple thing of planting seeds, and we haven't gone out and done that yet. I think we're a little unfamiliar with the neighborhoods around here, and I don't know what our excuses are, but we need to start doing that. So just pray for us to remember the importance of doing that, just getting to know our neighbors and all that. So that's a place that's just where we need prayer, because we have no excuse, really, honestly.
No, so we definitely are. Extracurricular Christian activities have definitely dwindled since our move, and we're hoping to pick those back up. We've had some, you know, ideas and things presented to us. We just haven't actually dove into that yet, so we need to. Pray for us and hold us accountable on the Discord channel.
No, I'm not blaming anybody for not reminding.
With that, like and subscribe to the channel, please, if you could. If you have a free moment, try to find us on YouTube. We mentioned in our previous videos that we were almost immediately banned on YouTube, and not banned, but suspended. And I don't know if that's hindered us from gaining an audience, but if you have the time, that would be wonderful. Otherwise, just follow us on whatever podcasting platform you're on. Jump on that Discord. We want to hear from you guys. We want to get away from traditional social media if we can. So today, we are continuing our look at sort of the LGBTQ infiltration of the churches. And this is episode 4 on this topic. So if you've missed the last 3 episodes, you can obviously go back and find those. I will do my best to have them linked in the descriptions, but I'm pretty forgetful. I will try though. But anyway, just kind of going back over them. In the first episode, we kind of just looked at sort of this LGBTQ movement sort of at large in the church community. And then episode 2, we looked more at how this movement was attacking our youth to gain ground. Episode 3, we looked at the way they were changing the language and how they'll be continuing to try to change this language into a more like homosexual friendly, you know, gender neutral, like queer affirming kind of religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in today's episode, we want to stop pointing the finger at everyone outside, and we want to focus on those of us in the church, because we're supposed to judge each other in the church, not those outside the church. So this topic is broader than the LGBTQ movement, and it's the idea of church growth equals church success. And we believe that contributes to the increase of like queer affirming congregation in our churches. And I was going to say how, like, I was just thinking about it, why, wondering if there's so many, you know, LGBTQ people in churches, why are they coming to church and staying in church and being lied to that that is not a sin in order for them to stay, for those numbers to be up?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something we're about to dig into here. And we'll get into that. I think it's definitely
maybe I'm getting ahead of it, yeah. But that was just something popped in my head. I'm like, I've got to say that.
No, I mean, they definitely, I think there's reasons why they keep them around. And I think the numbers game is part of it, as we're going to dive into. So yeah, definitely, you know, this idea of church growth equals church success is broader than just this one segment, but I do think it contributes. And this is, you know, it's been a trend for a while now. You know, I don't know if it's accelerating now in 2020, 2021, or if it's just sort of our awareness of it is increasing. But it seems like more and more churches are starting to be run like businesses, you know, kind of that idea of bigger is better. But this, you know, is kind of the idea of this was brought home to me a little bit when I was listening to the podcast. It's The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. It's put on by Christianity Today. And while the podcast is not necessarily about church growth, it does certainly spend a decent amount of time talking about church growth and sort of how involved Mark Driscoll, who was the pastor of Mars Hill, how involved he was in these church conferences, you know. And it kind of speaks a lot about church conferences in general, which is interesting. You know, different sorts of conferences on, you know, church strategy, growth strategies, all these different things. And while obviously me and Nikki, you know, we're not pastors or ministry overseers of any sort other than our ministry here on Religionless Christianity, we've been in church our entire lives, and we've seen a lot of this firsthand. You know, and so a lot of this episode is going to be a little bit of speculation, yeah, and just sort of our views on the church. It's not some scientific, you know, study or deep dive into the matter. So if you disagree with where we're going with this episode, you know, please feel free to reach out to us and let us know where we're off base. As always, we want to be corrected if we need correcting.
Yeah. So the idea is that, well, in America today, and I can't go back through all of church history, but at least the last 50 to 60 years, the church has started to see success through the same lens that the world sees business success. So growth is the determining factor of, I guess, the success, or it's not even about the health of the church, though. But this shouldn't be the case. It should be the opposite. And according to Matthew 7:13-14, we know that the way is narrow and that there are few who find it, and wide is the way to destruction. There are many who go that way.
So. Yeah, so it should almost be the opposite. Not that we want churches to be shrinking, but the idea that growing equals success. So, right. You know, but we love to hold up the Billy Grahams of the world, you know, is like, that's who our vision of a great evangelist is. He's got millions of people, you know. We send pastors like Rick Warren and Bill Hybels or Mark Driscoll, like these mega church pastors, to give seminars and write books on church growth. And then we start to see the church success sort of through the lens of how many people are sitting in the pews, mm-hmm. Rather than the actual quality of the people that are in those pews.
Right. And I don't know how you can know how people are doing in their walk with the Lord if your church is so big. Like, there's no, we know there's no accountability. We've been in big churches. There's no accountability. Nobody's coming up and nobody knows your name. Nobody even knows you go there. But this might be what, at least what we've talked about before. We talked about like tithing and not only like 5% of churchgoers tithe, but hey, we have hundreds in the pews every Sunday and none of them actually live a Christian life, but the parking lot is full every Sunday and they think that's success. But success isn't even the right word to ever describe a church, because we don't succeed. We just preach the gospel. We're not causing the growth. The Holy Spirit, God adds to those numbers. It says that in Acts. God added to the church daily those who were being saved. And what was their strategy? They preached the gospel. They didn't do anything showy. They didn't have to be worldly to attract people of the world in and then trap them in and then preach the gospel and then hopefully they get saved. It's like, that's how that strategy nowadays, but it doesn't work. It doesn't do anything to their hearts. It's all entertainment and it's empty.
Yeah, I heard Vody Bakum on a video or something he was giving, and he was talking about how, you know, this idea of the way that we preach, you know, it was kind of like the prosperity type gospel where he's preaching about, you know, giving your tithe financially and how that's going to open up the windows of heaven for your financial blessing and all this stuff. And so they're talking 45 minutes on this. And at the end of the sermon, the pastor's like, now raise your hand if you want to get saved. And he's like, you didn't preach the gospel. How are they supposed to get saved? They didn't hear the gospel. So, but yeah, you know, in America here, right, we're supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. I think a better slogan, at least in 2021, should just be America, quality over quantity, quantity over quality. That should be our slogan. So we do have a couple of news articles that will be linked down in the show notes. And the first one is from Christianity Today, looking again sort of at this idea of church decline that we've talked about plenty of times on this show. So there's nothing really new here. But what I did find fascinating was that the mainline Protestant churches, the ones that they name specifically are the United Methodist Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and Presbyterian Church USA. Those are the ones they named specifically. In the 70s, they were sort of the dominant church culture in the country. But then somewhere around like 1983, they've been losing ground to evangelical churches in the country.
Yeah, that article doesn't even, it doesn't mention this, but all three of those churches that he mentioned on gaychurch.org, they're all queer-affirming denominations.
Yeah, we'll have that page linked for queerchurch.org. It gives you a list of the queer-affirming denominations in the country, and those three are specifically listed on there. So,
is it gaychurch or queerchurch.org?
It's gaychurch.org. Oh. But in my mind, like this article, and it doesn't mention this specifically, but just me sort of pondering this information, it would make sense, you know, that in this country where our mindset amongst the church leaders and stuff is growth equals success. So the converse of that would be reduction equals failure. You know, so then when your church, you know, the numbers start diminishing, you start looking to these other areas in the country or whatever that you can grow your ranks back up.
I just wonder what it's like being a pastor and other pastors with all their people in their church looking down on you and judging you. And in your mind, you would think, well, they probably don't think I'm preaching the gospel and they're going to wonder what I'm doing wrong because my numbers are so low and theirs are so high. And I bet there's a lot of attacks
church
competition mindset. And
it's like the, what's that show? It's like the housewives of Atlanta or whatever.
I don't know. I don't watch it.
It's just like, I can't. There's like the, you know, like the rich housewives of whatever city. And they're just always like arguing and like, you know, my husband's more successful in Europe. I wonder if that's how like the churches are. Like, oh, my church grew by 100 members last month.
You're but
like,
what else do they look at?
I don't know. I don't want to disparage pastors to that level.
But again, this is just us extrapolating out. Yeah. I just try to put myself in their shoes, and you do everything we do in life. We compare
what we do our business,
everything. I compare my kids to other people's kids. What am I doing wrong? Why aren't my kids as well behaved as their kids? What's your strategy?
Well, and I think that's where a lot of this church growth type stuff is birthed out of, right? Like, you have this small little struggling church. You got your same little 50 members that you've had for 10 years. And then someone like Rick Warren comes along and he's like, I got 50,000 members. Do you want me to tell you how I did it? And you're like, I mean, we do that now, right? Like, we watch YouTube growth strategies or what, you know, whatever kind of thing it is when you're trying to build a channel. You're like, I want to see what somebody who is growing does. Mm-hmm. But then you have to actually be mindful enough that when you go and see what they do and go, I don't think that's what I'm called to do. And like, maybe I'm okay with where I'm at. So, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but I know I'm getting off, but like, you're called to, they're called to shepherd their church. And I don't know, your church can do outreach. I mean, do you blame the congregation because they're not?
No church does outreach.
Because they're not bringing their friends. I know, but they're like, invite your friends for Easter service. And they have all these flyers and it's, I don't know. And they only do that for Easter, I think.
Yeah, no, there's definitely other reasons.
Yeah, so anyway, that equation, you know, the quantity, whatever, quantity over quality, is, we got to get away from that idea.
Yeah, we definitely do. And in America, like, this can kind of be a tough thing to do with so many in the people, or so many people in this country that are already exposed. It's hard to go out and find a new people group to sort of start growing your ranks with, you know. But I think years ago, and maybe this is where these mainline Protestant churches went, there was sort of an untapped market for outreach, and that was this LGBTQ community. And then, like, in my mind, again, this just sort of makes sense why these churches, and you can lump in the Episcopalian church, which they've had a steep and steady decline since the 1980s. In America, you know, why they would want to sort of bring in this untapped resource to get back to that growing, successful place. So then you can couple this with another article that I was reading while I was kind of putting this episode together. And this is a little bit older of an article, and it's also from Christianity Today. And if you want to read that headline, honey.
It says, get ready, youth group leaders, teens twice as likely to identify as atheist or LGBT.
Oh, man.
Wow, twice as likely.
So, you know, I've yet to be in a church where growth wasn't discussed. And the main area of concern or main area of interest wasn't in the youth. You know, and this makes sense, right? If you want long-term growth, you have to find younger members that will stay in your congregation for decades. They'll have families, they'll bring friends in along the way and all that sort of stuff, you know. And it's not even unique to the church. Like, every movement or revolution, they try to get the young to sort of spark and sustain those revolutions. But this article does make note that today's youth, the Gen Zers, they're the most atheistic and LGBTQified. That's my word, not theirs, generation in American history. So in this episode, we're kind of trying to throw a few different ideas together here so that we can kind of maybe bundle this all together at the end. So this third one, before we try to bring this whole mess kind of back in together, is kind of looking at the youth ministry.
Yeah, the youth ministry in America, it's kind of the backbone, or I guess, of church growth. So you think it's pretty important, but it's like they're so focused on reaching the youth in the world that they become just like the world, like they got to attract them, you know? So I don't know when the shift happened in America or maybe it's, I don't know, it's always, maybe it's always been the case. Like, I remember it kind of being that way as a teen. Like, I can see it a little bit at one church I went to. But we basically let babies be in charge of youth ministries. You know, they're pretty young. They're always the really young
ones. Yeah, it's like whoever's, you know.
They don't even have kids of their own at all yet. Like,
no, I mean, it's whoever's cool and can connect with, like, the worldly youth that's out there. That's who we want in charge. You know, like the 23, 25-year-old, maybe fresh out of Bible college. You know, they wear skinny jeans and listen to secular music now. Yeah. You know, like, that's the guy that we're going to put in charge of our children. And I think basically it's because we're petrified that our kids are going to come to church and, like, not be excited, and they don't want to come back because it's not cool enough.
Yeah, well, we're teaching our kids that church is, like, just a fun place to hang out. Like, it's like the church has turned into theme parks and arcades. Yeah, definitely. The video games are a big thing in the bigger churches, though. And then the people we put in charge of these growing and nurturing our youth, they're more concerned with being their friend than their pastor. You know, the kids are like, oh, they're really nice. What'd you learn today? I don't know, but we played a lot of video games.
Yeah, he's super good at, you know, Super Smash Brothers. So trying to bring this all sort of back together here, you know, we're kind of trying to equate this church growth to church success, since sort of overall church attendance has been in decline in this country. We've had to look to new groups, namely the LGBTQ community. As we've seen sort of with the gay church denominations, there's a lot of them. The number one way that we look to grow our church, the church ranks, is through the youth and youth outreach. And then this is increasingly becoming more dangerous, since the youth of today are more atheistic and LGBTQ affirming than ever before. And then if we do finally bring them in, they come to a youth ministry that's led by a child, in most cases, that would rather be their friend than their pastor, because they can't afford to offend them. You know, because if they're offended and they leave, then we're just sort of restarting the cycle. You know, we're restarting the very problem that we're trying to, like, solve, you know, because if we bring them in and we're actually teaching them scripture and the Bible and they get offended and leave, we got to go out and find another youth that's, you know, worldly and try to bring. So, I mean, it's a mess that we're
but
in.
It's crazy.
For sure.
Like, why do they even want their numbers up if 5% tithe anyway? Like, they don't believe scripture. Why are they there? What does it benefit you if they're all there but nobody's tithing? Like, why do you want them there? For what's the reason?
Bragging rights.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard not to come to those conclusions. And yeah, we need to be balanced in how we, because we are judging, we're not condemning judging, like, we're piecing things together and trying to have it make sense, but we're basing everything off how church should be run. It's all stems from the Bible. This isn't my opinion. Like, we're talking about, what does scripture say? And that's our foundation for our point of view.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, this is meant to be more like corrective in nature, the way that things, I think, should be run, as opposed to the way I think we see them being run. So do you have any last words on this topic before this episode runs too terribly long?
Well, I mean, you go to church, you know your condition of your heart, and you have close friends. And if they're close, you would know the condition of their heart. You know, maybe you live in the world with your friends. So, no, you go to church and your pastor doesn't shepherd you. Maybe your pastor doesn't even know your name. Maybe you go to one of those big churches and you need to think of, if nobody's looking out for you and shepherding you, I think you should go where you have accountability, where you're supposed to have a shepherd. If your shepherd isn't doing his job, I'd say find a new shepherd. You can keep your friends and, you know, and don't live in the world with them, though. But they might not want to follow you if you're trying to press in and really be obedient and you want to have accountability, and your friends might not want that. So, I mean, you're going to lose friends when you really want to be devoted to the Lord. And it's crazy to say that you already, you know, been a Christian for years, and then you got to really like, oh, now I'm going to count the cost. Should have done this 10 years ago whenever, you know, you prayed to receive Jesus into your heart. Like, we got to count the cost, like, all the time. Every day we have to actually think that. So that's, yeah, that's all I want to say. I just, I mean, the advice is for us too.
Yeah, and, you know, we definitely don't want to deride all large churches or the idea that you should be looking to build your church. I mean,
if
definitely.
You're growing, then stay, yeah.
You should, but it should be in how you're growing. Yeah. So if you go to a church that is doing these things, shepherding, preaching the truth, standing on God's word and all that, we'd love to hear about
it. I want to hear. Yeah, if you do go to a big church and they got how are they caring for the church and there's accountability? I do want to hear about that.
And even if it's just a small church, I'd still love to hear. We have a section on our Discord for recommended sermons. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear from your pastor and your church what they're preaching, if it's, you know, worth listening to. So that's all we really got for this episode. Make sure you stay tuned for Wednesday, where we're going to actually try to provide what solutions we can come up with that we have for this whole LGBTQ thing and how you would handle it, because we don't want to just complain. We want to offer solutions as well. So that's what we're going to be trying to do Wednesday. And then obviously Friday, we will be sticking to that good news we wrap up this LGBTQ conversation. So that's all we got for you guys. Love you. God bless.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.